Yo, dog, heard you like startups, so I made you a startup that helps startups start up. Reuse of an old meme here, and I'm pretty sure that that's the idea that today's guest, John Bunting, had when founding Bezo Studios. See, it's a startup studio, and they partner with up-and-coming companies who want to scale and need guidance and many hands to help make light work. John's a pretty laid-back guy, but has really seen some stuff as he continues on his entrepreneurial path. He absolutely loves what he's doing and is eager to help as many viable companies as possible make it in this chaotic world we all live in. If you're a startup wondering if you have what it takes, John and his team of experts will tell you, and they'll help you every step of the way. Get in contact with him by going to bezo.io, and he'll take it from there. Let's jump into the show now. Yeah. Nice. How do you keep all that straight, man? I would go nuts. I guess you use like Trello or 3x5 index cards, or like, what do you do? How do you keep that straight?
We actually have every startup that we work with set up Jira. So because they set up Jira, we basically set it up as like a new project and run everything as a separate project in a way. So it's really like having each startup in itself, you're taking an idea to building it out to be in a business. And essentially it's being just run like a project where you have your deliverables, you have your objectives, you have the team assigned to it. You allocate their time. Everybody works within a schedule trying to get stuff done. I don't know. It's an interesting question. I mean, we build businesses essentially. Yeah. And we were able to keep track of it pretty well. I mean, like I said, we use Jira a lot, for marketing, for development, really for anything. So,
okay, that's cool. Years ago, I had a contract at CenturyLink, and they made a wholesale change to how they do business. Like, they had the legacy side of the house. They were like, you just guys keep doing what you're doing. And the cool kids downstairs on the fourth floor, what they would have them do is they would have these bays set up, and each bay was basically functioning as its own little startup. I mean, you'd have developers, product owners, BAs, testers, whoever, but they'd say, make a blah, blah. And they would just go to town making a blah, blah, and maybe they'd be successful, but maybe not. But it was sort of like a nice little experimental test bed of sorts. And it's like, what a unique idea. And it sounds like you're doing that on a bigger scale. Or I guess, what does your company do if you want to dig deeper into that? This is the interview.
Yeah,
I'm recording.
No, you're fine. No, it's totally fine. Yeah, this is great. So what we do, it's very much like taking an idea and building a business around that. And there's a lot of facets to it. And some of these ideas, some of these concepts, some of the things that you have to do might be blind spots for the founders. And that's kind of where we help them. Mm-hmm. And really, we're looking and say, okay, you got a business idea. Let's go validate it. Let's prove it out. Let's see what traction you can get. And we're not going to be coming in and say, okay, let's go throw money at a problem. Let's actually figure out how smart you can do it and how low cost and strategic you can drive it. And really just get that validation before you do more investment. So it's very iterative, our approach. And ultimately, we work with startups and we help them grow and accelerate and get the market. And we build products. We, help them with marketing. We help them with business development strategy. A lot of different things that startups ultimately need is what we do. And, it's been an interesting experience because also with our model, we're able to work with startups in all different types of industries. So like you brought up Sobi, and Sobi is ultimately it's a consumer product, basically designed for lip health and skincare. And, there's not a technical component to that, but it's still a startup. It's still a new product that we're trying to launch in a market space. We think there's a white space there. We think there's an opportunity there. And we also think with the right smart branding and marketing, it could be successful. You were looking at other direct-to-consumer products like Dollar Shave Club and Lumi, and there's a bunch of them out there. But we think Sobi can certainly move into a market space that nobody else is in and leverage the direct-to-consumer model. We have other startups that we're working with that are using AI and machine learning, and natural language processing. One's called Abstract. They're launching in about 2 weeks. So they've already got, 30 to 40 companies signed up for demos. They've got really good interest. So they're going to start accelerating further. Now, that one's more of a technical thing, but we've ultimately worked with them in terms of validating, building a technology and getting to market. So
Okay.
it's for us, there's a lot of flexibility because startups need all sorts of stuff.
They do. They do. Well, I mean, out of the gate, you're already diversifying and saying, all right, well, we're not going to stick with one particular sector, one particular type of business model. You're thinking ahead, and that's cool. If I didn't say before that I admire your approach to this, I'm saying it now, but I admire your approach to this. It's one of those ideas, and it's like, dang, why didn't I think of that? Like, oh, but I got here as fast as I could,
It's
man.
a challenge, I'll tell you what though. I mean, I wouldn't recommend it for anybody.
Yeah.
It's not, it's a very long-term play. I mean, we're partnering with them. There are some startups that honestly we've been working with for 2 years and we've never seen a dollar, we've never seen any traction from them, but we're still working with them because we believe in what they're doing. Other startups, certainly there's going to be exponential growth and revenue associated with that and lots of good successes. So it is, from our approach, it's a very long-term commitment and it's very strategic in terms of what startups we work with and, looking at the founders. We kind of come into it like an investor would, where we really find startups that have a great founding team, good vision, good product. They're moving into a market that nobody else is in, something unique. But it's been exciting. I mean, we're working with startups in the United States as well as we have one in Canada and two in the UK right now. And we're actually looking at, adding a couple more in the US right now. And I think we're having some conversations with some in Canada as well. So we're startups all over the place.
Neat, neat. Well, how did you decide to start up a startup business? I think I'm coming up with a title for the show,
Yeah.
The Startup Startup. Like, how did you come up with this idea?
The creating a startup studio is not new. I mean, admittedly, the first startup studio was Idea Lab that was founded in, I think, 1996 in Pasadena. And so our concept, our model isn't new in a way. But there's really been this uptick of, startup studios interest in them and such. And I think ultimately, I know from a return perspective, statistically industry-wide, you can do the research on this, but startup studios have a higher exit percentage versus regular VC. So a VC just provides the capital. A
Right.
startup studio actually provides the team and the know-how in terms of how to build that business. And so the amount of risks, the amount of pitfalls you run into are much less. Because if I give you a bucket of cash, you're going to make some bad decisions with that bucket of money. I mean, you just inherently will because you don't know like what's a good developer, what's a bad developer, what's
Right.
a good marketing plan versus a bad marketing plan. What's the right strategy for your new product? You kind of learn those things and you spend money as you learn. A startup studio eliminates some of that risk. It really, I think it softens the ups and downs because now you have a team who knows what to do, who knows how to build product, who knows technically what they need to do for marketing and whatever else. They know all these things. Really, the biggest, X factor, the biggest risk you can say is the founders themselves, their ability to drive a business forward, and then also the product or the service in terms of its uniqueness in the market and how well it can be positioned.
Okay.
And so going back to the question, VCs, I think a lot of VCs are now starting to recognize that startup studios have some benefit. And I also think that just in general, people are becoming more aware of startup studios. There's roughly about 500 startup studios in the world. Most of them are outside the US. I think, I'm going to say more than half of them exist outside the US. So but it's a relatively new concept in the US. And I think it's really had an insurgence within the last, maybe 5 or 10 years as, they've been coming up.
Wow, man, yeah, and I mean, there's a couple here in St. Louis I know offhand. I mean, there's the Cortex District downtown. There's the T-Rex building downtown, but I also know, I think there's some out in like Kansas City, like some of these up and coming places, but you know, you kind of see them around like, you know, we'll just kind of, let's have a startup incubator, you know, but yeah, it's not, it, like you said, it's not a new idea. So how long have they been around? Like you say, it's not new, like 10 years or
no,
what?
I'd say 1996 Idea Lab was founded in Pasadena,
okay,
California. So that was really the first one. I think Bill Gross is the founder of that one. And then from there, you have this, you know, they've just kind of been, you know, I'd say there's been a few in the later in the 90s, maybe early 2000s. But I'd say really from 2010 forward, you've had a lot of startup studios being started. They're a bit different from an accelerator or a incubator. And the difference is that a startup studio provides a team. We actually provide development. We provide marketing. We actually do the work. Accelerators and incubators, there's a lot of those, like Techstars, and there's a bunch of them. They are very focused on teaching founders what to do, the founding team, and coaching the founding team, and helping make connections and network. And they give a little, usually they get a little bit of capital. There's a program that they, you know, get, there's an application process. They go into a program. The program runs for some number of weeks. And at the end, they graduate. A startup studio is more of a long-term commitment where you go into a startup studio and ultimately you're with that startup studio until you either get to some success or you're just, the start just dies.
Right.
There's no like set program around it. So that's also why we're selective with who we work with, because it's a long-term commitment. It is not a, you know, 32-week program or a 8-week program or whatever. It is like multiple months, years, whatever it is,
yeah,
until that startup is either successful or that startup dies. So it's really a long-term commitment, but there's a few of them out there. In my opinion, I think the model is ever evolving. People are trying to figure out the right formula for a successful startup studio. Generally, most startup studios are associated with a fund, with a VC or a investment fund of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
And that investment fund, you know, helps partners with a studio, and essentially there's some symbiotic relationship there. But
okay,
for us, in our case, we're a standalone startup studio.
Okay. That makes sense. That makes sense. What are some of the most notable challenges that you've run into? You kind of like bonk up against, and then I guess just plow through it anyway, as you walk your entrepreneurial journey. Anything come to mind? Got any battle scars, John? That's what I'm asking.
There's always those. You know, it's certainly a challenge. I mean, you're from our model, I'll tell you one thing unique about us is that we operate at a break even. So we are, you know, we're in it for the long term. There's a long-term partnership. There's an equity component with our startups. And because of that, it's really a delicate balance because we operate that break even. So it's a very thin line in terms of, you know, us being able to keep our lights on and keep things running versus, you know, us not being able to. And so, you know, we have to make strategic decisions around costing. And sometimes we decide that this startup is worth taking a loss on in terms of the work. Or some startups, like I said, that will invest a lot of time and, you know, try to get them to market because we believe in them. And other startups, we, you know, just, it's a delicate balance. So I think ultimately, you know, it's about being flexible. It's about working with founders. We work with founders a lot. I think the other thing for us is that we've learned, one of the challenges we've had is finding founders with the right characteristics. And what I mean by that is what it ultimately takes to be a great founder. And, you know, admittedly, I think we've worked with some founders early on that really just didn't have what it takes. And, you know, for us, that's one of the learnings that we've had definitely is that finding right founders who can drive a startup forward is absolutely key. I mean, there's ultimately, you know, anybody, lots of people have ideas. It's all about who can implement, who can carry that idea forward. And, you know, some people have a lot of talk, but the action is limiting, or they just have challenges with actually implementation. Other founders we've seen is that they build great product, but they can't connect that product to a customer. So it's really finding founders with the right characteristics to carry things forward. I think that's the biggest thing that we've really learned in the last 12 months.
Okay. Man, I mean, I can imagine too that there's a lot of risk involved, like you said, with just knowing where to spend your time. Like on the surface, every startup's going to be like, we're the best, we're the greatest, it's going to be awesome, we're going to make a bajillion dollars. And it's like, you might not, bud. You might not. And hate to break it to you, but like you've got maybe three customers that are going to buy your product and that's it. So unless you're charging mm-hmm. $2 billion a piece, sorry, but hard pass. So,
oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So many founders build product and they have no idea who their customer is. I mean, I've seen startups burn through buckets of money and then realize, oh, my customer doesn't want what I just spent a bunch of money building and time. And now I need to go back and build it again and build a new version for a different customer. I'm like, what are you thinking? Like, you know, first off, I feel bad for the investors because they're giving them these buckets of money. And then it's like, you don't even know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So many startups have product and no customer, or they think they're going to make like all this money. And I think a lot of times people get into doing a startup because it's like a trendy thing to do or it's a mm-hmm. hobby.
Yeah.
They don't understand the grind associated with it. They think, poof, magically, if I do a startup, I'm going to have this cool office and all these people working for me and all this money. And yeah, that doesn't happen. I mean, you really have to work hard and spend a lot of late nights and hours. And it is not a fun experience. Now, you know, in the end, it could be, but the ones that everybody thinks of, you know, all the big tech companies and stuff, people forget what it took to get them to where they are today. And, you know, they just don't get it.
Yeah. They get so isolated from that initial, like, hoofing it, you know, blood, sweat, and tears thing that they're like, you know, we're good, we're coasting. And mm-hmm. that's an area I kind of hope I never get that way. I hope I always stay hungry. I know it sounds weird saying that, like, why would a business owner say that? Like, why would you always want to struggle? But it's like, man, this is the time of learning. I can't afford to get fat. You know what I'm saying? So I love it. I love the hustle, man. I'm not into like hustle porn, but I love being busy, spending my energy doing the right things.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, so like what kinds of things have you learned about yourself? Like you've learned a lot about business. You've learned a lot about entrepreneurship on the whole, but what has John Bunting learned about himself?
That's a great question. So ironically, I've sort of learned how right I am about a lot of things. It sounds crazy to say that, probably egotistical, but one of the things that's fascinating is before I started founded Viso Studio, I spent 9 months writing a business plan.
Mm-hmm.
I literally spent weekends, nights, weekends at the library typing away this, you know, 50-page business plan of what the business should be. And then I started executing. And what's fascinating is the fact that we haven't deviated from that plan, where I started executing this plan 2 years ago and we're still on the same path. Now, there's been one surprise, which was, you know, the fact that a couple of surprises, but one of them was that the model that I designed was actually scalable with respect to we can work with startups anywhere. That's one thing. The second part is I assumed that we would reach some capacity with the number of startups that we work with. Theoretically, I think we'll hit that capacity at some point in time, but I think we're, you know, 50% there. But ultimately, it's really come back to one thing that I've learned, you know, maybe it goes back to anything, is trust your gut. Somebody told me a while back is your initial thought, your initial reaction to something is typically the right one.
Mm-hmm.
So if someone tells you X, and your initial reaction is, you know, why? And then you second guess or you think more on it and you're like, well, maybe it's A, B, C, and D. Usually it's back to why. Usually your initial reaction, your initial thought is the correct one. And, you know, that goes a long ways. It goes a long ways with, you know, for us, for example, we provide estimates, you know, like, hey, I want to build this mobile app or whatever. We can come back and give you an estimate of what it takes to build. And interestingly enough is our estimates are pretty darn close. I mean, truthfully, like we have a method of doing estimations. They're pretty good, pretty close, pretty spot on. And going back to, we look at something and this is our initial estimate. We don't go back and revise it multiple times. We just say, this is what it is. And usually that's what it is. So you don't second guess yourself. You just trust your gut. The other thing I'd say is, you know, we've had, you know, obviously everybody has challenges. And someone told me is that, you know, all you have to do is just keep going. You know, they made the comment to me is, you know, like if you're playing a card game, you just turn the other card. It doesn't matter what the card is. You just keep playing the game. Do everything you can to keep playing the game. And I find, going back to characteristics on founders, I think a lot of people aren't willing to do that. I think a lot of people aren't willing to think dynamically and really try to push things to the absolute edge and beyond. And that's what you have to do to be successful. Mm-hmm. I think that's one thing that I've realized is that, you know, you hear all these people talk about entrepreneurship and stuff, and they say, oh, well, the guy who founded Jet, who was acquired by Walmart, yada, yada, I think it was like $3 billion acquisition. He mentioned the fact that he said he created situations that it was like he had no other option. He put so much into it. He invested so much into himself, into his finances, that he had no other option but to succeed. And how simply put that is, it is absolutely true. Mm-hmm. Is that I think too many people hold themselves back because of fear, because of, you know, self-imposed limitations, you know, and if you're going to do a startup, if you're going to be successful, you have to eliminate those things. You have to push beyond the fear. You have to remove those limitations and you have to just keep going. And, you know, that's one of the things I will say that has been, going back to the question, I think that was certainly a stretch for me because there's things that I've had to do to keep Biso Studio moving along. And we're actually going to be, truthfully, we're going to probably have the best year we've ever had this year. Mm-hmm. And then obviously next year and so on and so forth. So we'll keep growing. We'll keep having successes. But there was a period of time where it was like do or die and you just push through it. But it's certainly a mental test. And I will admit that, you know, there's decisions today that I can't believe I made, but they were the right decision to make at the time.
Yeah. Man, same. I've shared this with people. It's like, if you want to get on the path to self-improvement and mental discipline, start a business. Like you'll get there in a hurry, whether you want to or not. The act of just continually pushing through stuff. So, man, that's really cool.
And stuff
really
will always come up. I mean, always comes up. Yeah. And I also think that, you know, as you get further along the journey, the peaks and definitely the valleys get a lot less frequent. But I mean, you know, any business, some catastrophic thing could happen and that business could be dead tomorrow. And you just got to keep going.
Mm-hmm. You do. Got to come up with another means of generating income.
Mm-hmm.
Man. Well, I'm curious if somebody were to want to reach out to you and say, you know what, I'm a startup. I need to see if I can get this help. Maybe John and his team can offer some advice in exchange for equity. You know, how would they be able to reach out to you? What's the best way to do that?
Best way to do that is go to our website. So, okay. Which is biso.io. So we've got a contact form on there and you can, you know, submit a request, submit a question, submit, hey, I want to talk to you guys, have a meeting, whatever that is, and we'll get in touch with you.
Okay. Solid, solid. I can imagine a lot of listeners are probably in that target demographic where they're like, we want to grow. We think we have a good idea. But, running it past somebody who is like, okay, well, we know how to assess your business and we know how to tell whether this is actually a good idea or not. And we'll tell you, we're not going to pump sunshine up your skirt. If it's not a good fit, we'll let you know. And
No,
I hope this,
absolutely.
yeah. Well, I hope this gets people in touch with you. I really do. I really
Yeah.
do.
I mean,
So.
and I think that's probably one of the value things that we add is that we're very straightforward. We're not going to dance around anything. I mean, if we see an opportunity, we'll see an opportunity. If we don't, we're not going to pursue it, and we'll let you know why.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, I'm glad you're one of the good guys. I'm glad you're one of the ones that shoots from the hip. You're not just trying to make a quick buck. You're in it for the long haul, and I'm really glad that our buddy Craig got us introduced. I think you're a cool dude, and that's my resolution for 2021 is to surround myself with cool dudes. So you made the cut. I'll tell
Appreciate it.
you made the cut, man. Awesome.
Appreciate
Yep. Well, I will let you bounce and I look forward to getting this pushed up pretty soon. I'll let you know when it's going to go live. It's going to go out the first of next month. So I do that with all my podcast episodes. And yeah, you should get an email pretty soon. All right.
Okay, great.
All right, man.
Thank you so much, Fritz. This was
Anytime,
great.
man. It was fun.
All right.
We'll take care. Bye-bye.
All right, you too. Bye.
Did you hear this episode and go, wow, I'm a founder and all my friends keep telling me I should get on a podcast? Would I be a fit? Yes, yes, you would. Every single person who steps out of their comfort zone to build their dream has an amazing story to share, and this is the platform for you to do that. If you want to talk about your dream, what led you to start your endeavor, what successes you've had or challenges you've been pitted against, this is the podcast for you. So head on over to archdevops.com/podcast to find out how to get on. And also check out our free tip sheets on guesting or even hosting your own podcast. This is Fritz, your host, hoping to meet you on the other side of the hot mic at Arch DevOps.